Hey guys, welcome back to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. And as promised, this week begins our mini-series, Anatomy of Marriage, which is a deep dive all about relationships, trust, and self-discovery. Now, the first episode is titled, I Would Rather Be Divorced. And this kicks off the journey into the failing marriage of our producers, Seth and Melanie, as they begin to examine things that can go wrong in a marriage. Again, little bit of a disclaimer, this is raw, this is vulnerable, this is gritty, but this is necessary. So many, if not millions, if not dozens of millions of marriages are going through things that a lot of us don't feel like we have the freedom to talk about. And we want this to be a space where you can feel safe and where you feel like your questions can maybe be addressed or brought up and we can all relate to each other.
I live with my mom. It's my dad's fault that things are bad. He hits me and scares me. Sometimes he would follow me in school, and my mom would cry when I told her.
My mommy and my daddy are divorced. I never see my daddy. I love my daddy.
You know, we use more natural family planning, and we talked a lot about like being open to God's blessings, and that's how I tried to look at it.
This is Susie, a mother of six who is in her 30s and is walking through a divorce.
That's how we have six kids. Anyway, because, and even, you hear all these trite phrases like, God won't give you anything that you can't handle, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All these things, and there's like, it's like this running track in your head.
My name is Melanie, and my husband Seth and I set out to investigate marriage when ours almost failed 7 years ago.
Tell me the time when you told your mom that you wished I would cheat on you.
That's me interviewing Seth about some of the lowest points in our marriage.
You were just furious, and...
And that's Seth.
I remember I said, no, it's not mine, and you were yelling. And then you tried to kick me. You came around and like just punched me square in the face.
Needless to say, this time in our lives was really, really terrible. We were on the brink of divorce and trying to hold on to each other while simultaneously pushing each other away. We wanted to heal and be happy, but we were so broken. We decided to do something a little unorthodox with the hope that we could save what little was left. We needed honesty. No more hiding, no more pretending things were okay. We needed to be fully real with ourselves and with each other. So we started by asking our married friends if their marriages were flawed like ours. And the answer was crazy. Yes, they were flawed, but people just weren't talking about it. We weren't alone, and we never had been. And that's where this podcast comes in. So sit back and get ready for a crazy journey into the world of trust, betrayal, and self-discovery in today's episode titled, I Would Rather Be Divorced. So hearing clips about how my husband wished that I would cheat on him is not the most flattering way to introduce a host, but hey, that's our story and that's where we start. As the season goes on, you're going to hear our entire story unfold in all of its messy glory, as well as stories from our married friends, because like I said before, once Seth and I dropped the act and were serious with people about how bad our marriage was, stories of what real marriage was like started coming out of the woodwork. And so pretty much every interview in this season is from a person or a couple that we're friends with. We changed a few names here and there to protect privacy, and also because it was just sort of funny. But back to Susie, the mother of six who you heard talking before. I have known her for at least 10 years and watched as her family grew from just her and her husband to a whopping family of eight, complete with a suburban. But it turns out there's a lot about Susie and her marriage that I didn't know.
So how you were married for 12 years then?
Yeah, November was 12 years, so 12 and a half.
When did you first start to notice that things weren't maybe what you thought they were going to be?
Oh, well, let's see here. We got married in November 2003, so by about February. I remember that first year of marriage, we lived in this like mother-in-law apartment on some friend's property. And I remember some of the fights we used to have there, but I don't remember what they were about. I just remember like one of the things I kept saying was, this isn't about you, it's about me. Like I would tell him, you know, this hurt my feelings or I need this. And he would think I was criticizing him. And so then he would like defend himself and get upset and say I was critical. And really all I was saying was, I need this or I need that. And so that was what it was like the first couple months.
So right away, Susie noticed that something felt off, not quite right. And so she did what she thought was best. She and her husband looked for a counselor, but they weren't in a financial place to afford traditional counseling, so they decided to go the church route.
I just was really disappointed and confused, and I remember like we did seek some counseling, but I was embarrassed to go to counseling with people he knew. So I sought counseling at a different church, and the pastor was kind of like, yeah, and he didn't seem very engaged. I think we only went to one, maybe two sessions there.
So let's get clinical for a second. There were a few things that stood out to my husband Seth in this clip, and I didn't mention this before, but Seth is a licensed marriage and family therapist, which is ironic considering the fact that this whole podcast is about our terrible marriage. But whatever, that's not the point. So here's what Seth had to say.
It sounds like Susie is really suffering from a lack of reflective listening.
Reflective listening, as described by Wikipedia, is a communication strategy involving two key steps: seeking to understand a speaker's idea, then offering the idea back to the speaker to confirm the idea has been understood correctly.
And it sounds like her partner just, he would only perceive it as complaining, but all she really wanted was just someone to process it with, to feel understood, and that makes me think of the concept of empathic understanding.
Which is a way of listening to another person and responding that improves mutual comprehension and trust.
If we feel that our partner really has some empathy towards what we're feeling, then we can feel like, okay, we're in this together and I'm not alone. And it really sounds like Susie thought that she was really alone in this because that lack of empathy.
But neither Susie or her husband knew about empathic understanding or reflective listening. They just knew that something wasn't right. And although they had found a church to receive counseling, it wasn't going well.
You know, so we sought counsel then, and that was when I started finding pictures on our computer of the pornography. I found a picture, and I'll never forget. I found this picture, and when he got home from work that day, I asked him about it, and he lied to me.
I feel deceived a lot.
This is Leslie Vernick.
Leslie Vernick, and I'm the author of 7 books, but my most recent are The Emotionally Destructive Marriage and The Emotionally Destructive Relationship.
In addition to being an author, Leslie holds a master's degree in clinical social work and in 2013 received the American Association of Christian Counselors Caregiver of the Year Award. She has been married to the same man for 38 years. I actually found out about Leslie while I was talking with Susie, and so I thought I would give her a call and get her thoughts on failing marriages. She shared some statements that come from her book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, that are designed to help people identify whether or not they are in a destructive marriage.
I feel deceived a lot. Things are being whitewashed, minimizing, covering up. I don't know what's really going on. I'm not being told all the facts.
Like, he stood toe-to-toe with me.
Here's Susie again.
Looked me square in the eye and said, it's not mine. I don't know where it came from.
I feel confused. Like, every time I try to have a conversation with someone, the word twisting, and I didn't do that when I know you did, and it didn't happen when I know it did.
And I'm like looking at him like, do you think I'm stupid? Like, where else would it have come from?
And you feel ignored or objectified. Like, you're not a person to love, you're an object to use. Men say, I feel like a paycheck, or women say, I feel like a body.
We were broke, had no money, we were 5 kids in 1 bedroom, and I was homeschooling, you know, and here I was pregnant with number 6.
I feel like a mother, I'm not a person. And that can be really, really painful.
You know, you hear all these trite phrases like, God won't give you anything that you can't handle, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All these things, and there's like, it's like this running track in your head, and you just get up in the morning, and you're like, God said he'd give him strength, and so you just put one foot in front of the other, and you do it, but not well, and I was depressed, and I was anxious, and I had a panic attack. I drank a lot for a while there, like a lot. There was a part of me that just shut off whatever needs and expectations I had. It was just like this whole, like, half of me, I just turned down the volume.
Their marriage was falling apart, but Susie really wanted to make it work.
Who, with 6 children, doesn't want to make it work? We went to some counseling at church, and it didn't help. So in that following January, I actually like hopped the plane. Like, I lost it. And I think I had been on a couple rounds of antidepressants at that point. Like I said, pain pills whenever it was too much. There was a lot of stuff.
So Seth and Melanie have decided to turn towards each other and the couples around them to start examining their issues more closely instead of walking away from the discomfort of their problems. And I think that was my favorite part about listening in this particular episode is hearing them in the trenches, realizing that glimmer of hope of saying, we need help. I think those three words are the peak center of putting your marriage on the right track. We need help. We need community. We need friends. We need professionals. And so as they did that, they discovered that their struggles were not unique and that they were not alone. So we will continue their story after a quick word from our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Love That Lasts experience. This experience is a new approach to helping couples tackle the tough questions in marriage, everything from sex, communication, parenting, conflict. The Love That Lasts experience includes two separate guidebooks, one for him and one for her, 12 video lessons by marriage mentors on 12 big marriage topics. The experience also includes the Deep Love Assessment, which is totally awesome and helps you understand your personalities and what areas you might have conflict in. And it also has a private Facebook group created just for this community and the brand new Love That Lasts book by us coming out in October. To learn more about this amazing marriage resource, visit lovethatlasts.co. lovethatlasts.co.
Now back to our story.
The biggest issues, if you want to look at it from a global perspective, perceived threat, perceived neglect.
Les Parrott is a PhD and professor of clinical psychology for Seattle Pacific University. His wife, Leslie, is a marriage and family therapist, and together they founded the Center for Relationship Development on the campus of SPU. Seth and I sat down with them and talked through some of these big ideas about failing marriages and what they've seen over the years.
Perceived threat, perceived neglect. You can almost always attribute somebody's problems in marriage to one of those two reasons. Doesn't that be reality, but it's the perception of somebody that is being overly controlling, demanding.
Critical.
Yep, or perceived neglect, yeah. Which is withdrawal. It doesn't feel like you're on my team. It doesn't feel like you're invested in this relationship, but you can mark it down. Every couple that is struggling in their marriage is struggling with one of those two perceptions or both of them.
And we actually know the research bears that out, that when you feel that way in your relationship, you can count on it, there's conflict. Mm-hmm.
So did you catch the really important thing that Les said there?
Doesn't that be reality?
It doesn't even have to be real. It just has to be a perceived threat or a perceived neglect. So I can just feel like you are neglecting me, and then boom, we have conflict. That's huge. So back to Susie. One day, her husband,
on a Monday afternoon, took the three-year-old to the grocery store with him. Like, take him to the grocery store for that last-minute dinner item and come right back, kind of thing. And I was like, thank you for taking the baby. Well, when he got back, I realized he had not used the right car seat. He'd used a booster seat instead of the five-point harness for a two-year-old. And I was like, dude, that's not cool. That really scares me. Please don't do that. At which time he said, I don't really think it's all that important. And I said, now listen, I hear you. I see your perspective. But like, listen to me when I say, this is my child and I could never forgive you if anything happened. It's important to me that we do everything we possibly can to protect our child. Well, I don't think that. And it was this back and forth thing. And we wound up arguing about this for 4 hours. 1 hour in the evening, 3 hours the next morning. And I told him he endangered my child, and he called me disrespectful.
Indifference in a marriage is really, really painful.
This is Leslie Vernick again.
And when you marry someone, both people make promises, not just one, to love and to care for. Another area is if you feel afraid, like you feel afraid for your safety.
This was after, like, screaming in each other's faces with the children in the house, screaming in each other's faces. He would block me in a space like I couldn't get around him. And he insisted I apologize for calling him disrespectful. And that was when that was it. That for me was, that was like the no. If you can't hear my heart, if you can't see my perspective about the safety of our child, my child, if you can't see me about that, then you will never see me. You're out. So, kicked him out.
In a final attempt to make their marriage work, Susie speaks to one last counselor. But this time, a question is set before her.
He said, are you rebuilding or repairing? That's what my counselor asked me. And I think that's such a good question. If you were to look at your marriage and honestly say, are you going to rebuild it or are you going to repair it? And I would say, we'd be starting from the foundation. Because Like, I'm a woman and I have a voice and I deserve to be respected, in my opinion. We'd have to start there. And that to me is just not, I don't want to go all the way back there. And I would rather be single than treated like shit. I would rather raise six kids by myself.
I wanted to know Susie's thoughts about how she felt the church did or did not help her marriage. And this is what she said.
Like, honestly, I want to bitch slap the church. I do. I am so mad. Like, I'm devastated.
Tell me the time when you told your mom that you wished I would cheat on you.
Here's me and Seth again.
So I would talk to my mom a lot about it, and this was after just months and months and probably years of fighting that I was like, is this a wrong decision? I would rather be divorced than fight like this all the time and feel the way that I feel after a fight. So, you know, I wasn't going to leave you or cheat, but I was, you know, part of me was thinking like, I wish she would just cheat so I would have a reason to not be in the marriage anymore.
Well, hang on a second.
This is our producer and longtime friend, Matt.
I didn't know this, but you're saying that your fighting was so bad that you actually hoped that she would cheat on you so you'd have an excuse to leave, and you told your mom this.
Yeah, I would talk to my mom often, and it wasn't like, oh, one fight was so bad. It was like the constant, just persistent, this is the water we're swimming in. You know what I'm saying? Like, every day was something. It was like there was many more bad days than good.
Okay, so you guys are going to do this whole thing and roll tape and record yourselves and talk about all the crazy stuff in your marriage? Is this what we're going to do here?
Yeah, that's the plan. We just we knew that we had something here and we made it through. So how can we help other people, because our story is kind of crazy and just
I don't even think our story is all that crazy. I mean, I think lots of couples have stories like this. You just don't hear about them.
You think it's common that people have domestic violence, pornography issues, things like that in their marriage. Maybe it is common, but it's not common for people to investigate it, change, and much less put it on air.
Yeah.
Release that, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, first of all, I think it's very rare that people make it out of some of the stuff that you guys made it through. Mm-hmm. I think it's very rare, and I didn't predict that you would, to be honest.
Why in the world, as you as a friend, didn't you say something?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I tried. I mean, I would talk to Seth a lot of times when stuff was really rough for you guys, so all I knew to do was let him talk about it and say, give him small advice here and listen. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else you can do. Like, it doesn't help to look at a marriage and go, hey, you guys are cruising for a bruising. And so where did you start? You just started recording yourselves? Why'd you do that?
It was like an opportunity that we knew that we needed to do post, like, trauma, because a lot of the stuff that we went through was trauma, emotional and physical. Like, to put some closure on some stuff. Like,
debrief.
Hey, debrief, yeah. You know, it's just like, hey, we have this opportunity. We got through it. We didn't kill each other or ourselves. We both want a stronger marriage. Let's go through these things together.
But what exactly did we get through? Well, we're going to rewind for a second here and start at the beginning of our story so you can really understand what you're dealing with. We started out as strangers from opposite coasts, me from Seattle and Seth from South Carolina. We met at Starbucks, where we were coworkers and friends, and a year later, after I broke up with my boyfriend, Seth and I started dating. Fast forward 5 months and we're engaged, and then 3 months later, we're married! This is actual audio of my sister and I singing a duet at our wedding. And if you listen closely, you can hear the old mini VHS tape spooling from one side to the other as the video plays. But not long after we said our vows, things got messy. Like, this kind of messy.
If that's your point of view, that's fine. I don't know.
What are you talking about? What did I say? What did you hear?
I heard what you said.
I don't know if you did. Because it's like, I am trying to say the same things that happened in the very beginning of our relationship are like the same things that you complain about now.
And you're understanding them the same way as you always have.
Again, so. I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. If I'm not understanding it, help me. Don't tell me I'm not understanding it. Why would you respond that way?
Our relationship was crazy from day one. We were spontaneous and young. Seth was a drummer in an emo band, and I was a theater student at a liberal arts college. And right after we got engaged, Seth suddenly quit the band and decided that he wanted to become a marriage and family therapist. I blame Seth for all of our problems, and of course, I thought that nothing was ever my fault. If only he would listen to me, if only he understood me. As Seth's school progressed, things got busier and busier. I was working at a coffee shop teaching theater classes and pregnant. Seth was in school doing internships and worked two jobs. When graduation came, we already had a baby, and I was pregnant again. And then one night in March, it happened. We were watching a sermon online because it was too hard to take the one-year-old and the newborn to church. So we just watched online, and when it was over, Seth started acting super weird.
I was holding Tuff and he was asleep.
This is us in the car again.
And he was just like tiny, tiny. And you turned the thing off and like said, just, you were like super weird. You got all like sweaty kind of and uncomfortable and were like, I have to tell you something. And I was like, what? You know, and you got down on your knees and I was like, super confused, and you grabbed my hand and then told me, like, you confessed and said that you had been looking at things that weren't appropriate or whatever. And I just remember wanting to scream, but I had this baby asleep on my chest and then another baby asleep in the other room, and I threw the remote at you. All the times that I had asked you, do you struggle with this? Are you okay with this? All the opportunities that we had had in church and community group and with our friends for you to do the right thing, and then you still chose the wrong thing. I knew that that affected our marriage so badly. It just made me want to explode.
I was obviously extremely nervous and scared. I didn't know how you were going to take it. I didn't know what was going to happen after that. So, you know, my heart was beating fast. I was shaking. After I had told you, I remember you started crying, and I think you were asking why. And then you had a million questions. I knew in my heart that I had done the right thing by confessing.
So this was what started it all. Seth's confession was what split the tiny cracks in our foundation into massive gaping wounds. Everything was raw and exposed. His confession probably took like 1 minute to execute, but it changed the course of our entire marriage. Divorce was now a word that I thought about many times a day. But as we started talking about divorce, we started thinking about the broader effects that it has. Who else divorce really impacts? Because it's definitely not just the people who are getting a divorce that get hurt by divorce.
I was scared.
This is Ella. She's 10.
I was scared that everything was going to fall apart.
I felt kind of betrayed in a way. Like, I don't know.
Her brother Cyrus, he's 15.
It felt like I had to pick a side, too.
It felt like you had to pick sides?
Yes.
It was a while ago.
And Skylar, who just turned 20.
I kind of saw it coming because they hadn't been getting along and, you know, frustrated with each other about having to move across the country. We never really knew why we had to move across the country. Just that we did. Kind of everything was up in the air. Pretty much still is everything is up in the air. But, I didn't answer your question. I'm sorry.
These three kids have just walked through their parents' divorce. And when I wanted to investigate a failing marriage, I wanted to know what it was like not only for a couple to get divorced, but I also wanted to know, how did the kids feel about it?
If you had to describe the feelings of divorce, what would they feel like?
Disappointment, anger, I think. I was just mad, very disappointed.
What would they feel like?
Yeah.
Throughout this interview, it jumps from one kid to the next. Skylar and Cyrus are a little bit hard to tell apart, but you get the idea.
Bad? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Confusion, frustration, yeah, just general not understanding what's going on.
Is there something that you would want me to know about divorce that you think I might not know?
It's not fun.
Why not?
It's not fun. It is not. You probably know this already, but it definitely affects kids so differently than it does parents, and even, like, just age differences. I don't know. It affects everyone different.
So do you think that divorce has changed you?
I don't really know. I don't really know. Changed me?
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
What ways do you think?
I feel I've been put in a much more responsible position in our family. I have to kind of act as dad a lot of the times while still, you know, not having any authority to do that. So it can be, you get yelled at for trying to help and then praised for trying to help and all at the same time.
So our producer, Matt, does another podcast called Bad Christian Podcast. And we asked some of their listeners to send in emails with childhood memories of their parents getting divorced. Then we had children reenact some of those emails.
My parents fight a lot and yell at each other. I can't make it stop. I try to fight too, but it doesn't help. It only makes me feel worse. And so then I just be quiet.
My mom is great, but she can't be a dad. I don't like Christmas or Thanksgiving because they're just sad. My parents fight and I have to pick sides and I hate it.
I live with my mom. It's my dad's fault that things are bad. He hits me and scares me. Sometimes he would follow me in school and my mom would cry when I told her.
My mommy and my daddy are divorced. I never see my daddy.
I heard a lady at my baseball game tell another lady that my dad was gonna leave my mom. I stopped playing baseball because it makes me too sad to play.
I don't know how to learn the things that my dad is supposed to teach me. Like, how do you get a job or buy a house? Or how do you figure it out where to go to college?
I don't know what happens when people get in divorce. On TV, divorced people are crying a lot, so I'm really afraid of it. But I don't really know what it even means.
My mom and me made a secret language that we made up, so I say.
I wish I could be with my daddy. I love my daddy.
I don't see him anymore. I wish they could just be happy like my friends.
So what kind of advice would you give to someone listening who might be your age and might have parents going through the same thing? What do you think would be helpful for them to hear?
To stay calm and not worry about it as much.
Did you talk to anyone or, you know, meet with people at your school and talk about it?
Yeah. It felt better than I thought it was going to. I thought talking to someone about it would make it worse.
Oh, but it felt better?
Yeah.
Well, that seems like really good advice then, that sharing what you're feeling actually is helpful and maybe not as scary as it seems. Were you able to speak to like a counselor at all about the divorce?
Well, we talked to one for a while, but, like, I didn't think it really helped me that much.
What do you think would have been helpful or would be helpful now?
I think the most helpful thing is to just realize that there's not really anything that you as, like, a kid can do about it. Like, it's not your fault. It's not really about you. I feel like everything got better after I realized that, like, I wasn't the issue. Like, I wasn't the cause, and I couldn't really change the outcome either way. And I feel like that really helped more than anything else.
How did you figure that out? Like, who did someone tell you that?
I don't know. I kind of just came to that conclusion myself when, like, nothing I would do changed either way. Like, I could try to have a fight with someone, try to scream. That wouldn't help. And if I didn't say anything, that also wouldn't help. So.
Yeah. How do you balance that then? Like, how do you still be you in the middle of that without feeling like you're trying to take sides? You know what I mean? Like, how do you balance who you are?
That's the hard part. And, like, you've got to hold on to, like, what you already are before any of the worst stuff happens. And just, like, keep that, like, essence of yourself.
If you had a friend whose parents were thinking about getting a divorce, what would you tell the parents?
I would probably tell them to think about it beforehand.
Yeah? What would they need to think about?
If it's really very necessary.
What would I tell the parents?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really think there's one thing that you could tell everybody. It would really depend on the situation. Say, like, if things are bad, and if they really don't look like they're going to get better, then yeah, you probably should get divorced. But, like, if there's a hope, then, like, maybe, I don't know.
Make sure it's a last option. Don't just, because you're arguing and frustrated with each other. Like, it takes a much larger toll on your kids than you'll ever realize. You're wary of that. You're ready for everything it brings, like a mom and dad talking to each other for a year at a time. It's not knowing where each parent stands with them, that sort of thing.
What advice would you give to the kids of the parents that were going to get divorced?
Stay calm. It's not the end of the world.
I think they're going to get better either way. Like, if they work it out, it's going to get better, and if they get divorced, it'll get better too.
Good luck. I don't know. It's not your fault. Both of your parents love you. They just have different ways of showing it, and sometimes they're not able to show it. I don't know.
Wow, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that first episode of Anatomy of Marriage, the miniseries, and Seth and Melanie's story. The Studleys have opened up their marriage for us in this episode to scrutinize and for us to learn from, and they have begun this process by examining the desire to just call it quits and second-guessing their initial gut reaction of simply wanting to get a divorce. Hit us up on Twitter or Instagram or something of that nature, hashtag Jeff and Alyssa or hashtag Love That Last. Let us know what you think. Now, in the weeks to come, I'm so excited for you guys to hear the rest of their story. They will continue to take us on this journey as they learn to better understand themselves and each other in the process. But next week, like usual, it's back to me and Alyssa at our dining room table where we'll answer your questions, talk about faith and culture and how to navigate godly friendships in high school, college, with the opposite sex, and share a little bit about what it is like to work together as a couple. We look forward to talking with you soon. Have an amazing week. Love you guys.
Our show is produced by Matt Carter, edited and sound designed by Melanie Studley. Special thanks to executive producer Craig Gross and StrongerMarriages.com. Our show is supported by Datebox, the monthly subscription that helps grow your relationship. Every month, you get a box that's packed with everything needed for a fun, creative, and unique date night, and it's delivered right to your door. Visit GetDateBox.com and use the promo code LoveThatLast at the checkout to get your free box. And who doesn't like a free box? Datebox, your relationship matters.
So me and Alyssa put together this thing called the Love That Lasts Experience. It's $144 usually. We want to give you guys 50% off with the code PODCAST. Just use the code PODCAST at lovethatlast.co. Lovethatlast.co. Use the code PODCAST. We'll give you half off. So it's $70. You get 3 books, a 12-week video series, and the Deep Love Assessment. It's incredible. It's awesome. And you get to be in a Facebook group with us. We love you guys. We hope you check it out.